Tonight, if you have your Bible, would you join me in turning to James chapter 3? We have printed all of James 3 in your bulletin order service on the flip side, and we will be reading it all, but really dealing primarily with verses 1 through 12 tonight. But back to this morning first. Nehemiah chapter 4. I want to read one verse that I read this morning, but I want to deal with it just briefly, introducing tonight's message. In Judah it was said, verse 10, the strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There is too much rubble. By ourselves we will not be able to rebuild the wall. What caused that discouragement among the people? What got that started? We read just up above that in verse 6, so we built the wall and all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. What was it that caused them to become discouraged? It was the words of others. It was the ridicule, the criticism, the threats by others. Are we aware of the power that we have with our words to encourage or to discourage? That's really what James chapter 3 is about, in particular verses 1 through 12. Let's read the entire chapter and then look at what I have entitled The Power of the Tongue. James 3, beginning in verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. I tremble every time I read that. Really. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his own body, his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Let's pray. We thank you again, our Father, for your many gifts to us. Lord, we thank you for the gift of time and the opportunity, Lord, to use time wisely, which we trust we have done and are doing tonight. We pray, Father, that you would cause this time that we have chosen to gather with brothers and sisters in Christ to be beneficial, both for the good of your people and also to your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to consider four things that James indicates about the tongue or words. Really what he's talking about is words, the power of our words. He uses the analogy of the tongue because it is the tongue is the instrument that we use to speak. But he could be referring to the keyboard key, the computer keyboard. He could be referring to any number of things. He could be referring to the smartphone keys where we text. You know, what he's talking about is how we use our words, either for good or for evil. Four things that he says about the tongue. First of all, the difficulty in taming the tongue. I think we can all identify with that. The difficulty in taming the tongue. James begins with a warning for many of his readers not to aspire to be teachers, because teachers will be judged with greater strictness. And since we all stumble in many ways, teaching is dangerous indeed, since a teacher has power to influence others with his or her words. Particularly when we're teaching the Word of God, it's important that we get it right, that we teach, that we speak truth. And the ability to control the tongue is the mark of a perfect or a mature person. James says, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. But then again, he says, we can't do it. Someday, we will be able to do that. Someday when we are with the Lord. I always think of a verse that I read in one of Chuck Swindoll's books about a writing on a tombstone on a windswept hill in England. And it went like this. Beneath this stone, a lump of clay, lies Arabella Young, who, on the 24th of May, began to hold her tongue. In this life, we've not yet completely reached that level of perfection. Thus, James says in verse 8, no human being can tame the tongue. In commenting on this, again, Chuck Swindoll writes this, the tongue is as volatile as it is vital. It was Washington Irving who first said, a sharp tongue is the only edged tool that grows keener with constant use. Swindoll adds, we can tame Flipper and Trigger and Shamu and Lassie. We can train falcons to land on our wrists, pigeons to carry our messages, dogs to fetch the paper, elephants to stand on rolling balls, tigers to sit on stools, and alligators to turn over and get their bellies rubbed. But the tongue, it's impossible to train. Seemingly, he is right. This is why James writes that the ability to control the tongue is the mark of a perfect or a mature person. James presents here the goal of the Christian life, as well as a measuring stick by which we can determine our progress. Unfortunately, often we hold up the measuring rod of our speech or our words as an evidence of our progress. We all see just how far short we fall and how much further we have to go. James has written in chapter 1, verse 26, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. You can do everything else. Fail to bridle your tongue. Watch your words. It's all for naught. If you want to measure progress in the Christian life, one of the best ways is to consider how you do in the use of your tongue. Are you guilty of profanity? Not good. But what about gossip? Even worse. Is your speech generally negative or positive? Does it build up or tear down? More than anything else, our speech reveals the condition of our hearts. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Not only does James address the difficulty in taming the tongue, he also talks about the disproportionate power of the tongue. This little bitty instrument, and yet the power that is there. Just like the bit in a horse's mouth and the rudder in a ship, the tongue, although it's small, has tremendous power. Again, both for good and for bad. James focuses primarily on the bad, but it can also be used powerfully for good as well. For example, if there were no power in the tongue for good, it would be a waste of all our time for us to be here this evening, especially for this part, listening to a sermon. Nations have been inspired to great good and terrible evil by the power of a leader to persuade and inspire with words. The world was plunged into World War II largely on the strength of Adolf Hitler to influence the German people with his speech, with his words, with his tongue. Likewise, during some of their darkest hours, the people of Great Britain were inspired to press on and not give up the fight by the words of Prime Minister Winston Churchill. Even today, political candidates are judged worthy or not worthy to be elected based largely on their ability to persuade with their words. On a personal level, we can influence, inspire, encourage, and motivate others with the power of our tongues. Or we can discourage, deflate, demotivate, and even destroy lives with the same tongues. Of course, the greatest potential for good is the proclamation of the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is a speaking God. He spoke the world into existence by his word. He called Abraham out of idolatry by his word. He called his people out of Egypt with his word. The writer to the Hebrews says that God spoke to the fathers by the prophets at many times and in many ways. He is a speaking God. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the word made flesh who has made the Father known to us. Considering the disproportionate power of the tongue, maybe there needs to be a little sticker on our tongues that says, warning, high voltage, handle with care. The question for each of us is, how are we using this powerful little member, this little organ? The third thing that James addresses is the destruction caused by the tongue. We've already touched on this. But as James continues to describe the power of the tongue, he compares it to two very destructive forces, fire and poison. He first says the tongue is a fire, a little fire that sparks an inferno. How great a force is set ablaze by such a small fire. He also says it is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. He says that it stains the whole body, sets on fire the whole course of life, and is set on fire by hell. Pretty strong words. The source of this evil is nothing less than Satan himself. He was the first to use words to bring destruction, as he first questioned and then contradicted the word of God in deceiving Eve and leading to the first sin and the fall of mankind. All sin, suffering, and sorrow are the result of the destructive power of the original lying, deceiving tongue. Going back to the warning to those who would be teachers, there is a sobering need for us to understand the potential for destruction in false teaching. In Galatians 1, Paul is so concerned about the damage that's done by a false gospel that he calls for those who would preach it to be accursed. Galatians 1, 8 through 9 says, "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed." I am not misspeaking when I say in the vernacular, Paul is saying, let him go to hell. That's what he's saying. Let him be accursed. That's how strong Paul considers it to be to preach a false gospel, to use words to lead people astray to their eternal destruction. Lives have been ruined, churches split, communities divided, nations even brought to war because of the tongue. Perhaps a better, more complete sign on our tongues would read, danger, high voltage, handle with extreme care. Well, the fourth point that I see here that Paul makes is the deadly inconsistency of the tongue. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. How can we use the same tongue to bless God and to curse our brothers? Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5 about murder? You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. We rightly understand from Jesus' words here that the problem with anger is that it is the root of murder. But do we understand that Jesus is saying here, what Jesus is saying here about the danger of verbal assaults on others? James understands that when we insult or verbally attack others, whether in their presence or behind their backs, we are attacking God because every person has been made in the image of God. Again, we read just a while ago from James 1:26, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. We need to make sure that the inconsistency that plagues our tongue isn't due to a vain, an empty, a false faith. Most of us need very little, if any, explanation or illustration about this point. But for all of our knowledge, we seem not to really believe the words of Jesus, which I read earlier. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. One of the hardest things for us, certainly for me, is the tendency to think of others when we read these truths. I need to resist the tendency to think about others being guilty of this. I need to apply it to my own life. I must take responsibility for my words, my tongue, and recognize that the problem begins with me, not with others. Each of us needs to ask the Lord, how am I doing with my tongue? Am I a mature Christian, demonstrated by my growing ability to tame my tongue, or am I deceiving myself? Is my religion worthless because I do not bridle my tongue, as James wrote? Well, as we think about application, we need to understand that James' purpose is twofold. First of all, to challenge us to measure what we say by how we live, lest we deceive ourselves into thinking we're saved when we're not. But also, to spur genuine believers to maturity. James' desire is that we would be perfect or mature believers. James's clear, cutting, and compelling language is meant to bring repentance and lead us to Christ for forgiveness and reliance on Him alone, who lived a perfectly sinless life. The good news is that while we are all guilty, there is mercy. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what should we do? We should make a commitment that God, being our helper and enabler, we will use our tongue, our words, only to bring glory to God. And, as Paul writes in Ephesians 5, to give grace to others. So we should take responsibility for every word. We should engage others to help us. We're not meant to live the Christian life alone. We're not part of a body just so that we can come and have a fun time and sing together and have more than one voice. We are part of the body of Christ so that we can help one another. So we should engage one another. Ask others to help us with any words or speech patterns that may be offensive. Are we transparent enough, open enough to say to a friend, a spouse, someone, would you help me in this area? When you hear me speaking evil of others, would you stop me? When you hear me saying things that don't build up but tear down, and not excusing it because it's true, we like to do that. Well, it's just true. It's the truth. We can speak the truth and still sin. Will we be bold enough to encourage others to stop us, to help us, to encourage us, to glorify God with our words? Let's meditate on ways we can be an encourager to others with our words. Again, I refer to it a while ago, Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And if it becomes necessary to speak to another about some offense, follow the biblical principles in Matthew 7:5 and Matthew 18:15 and following. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then go directly to the offending person. Then, if necessary, take others, and only then tell it to the church if these previous steps have not brought repentance for sin. Finally, make it a habit to use your tongue for the greatest good, that of sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with those who are perishing in their sins. Let's use our tongues for that which will make a difference in eternity. Father, we need your help always. Lord, we desire to be a people who display your glory. Lord, yes, we know that there are times when we must speak what may hurt, but we do it in love. And we do it first by examining ourselves. And we do it, Lord, in accordance with your word. Father, our desire is to be used to glorify you, to build one another up. We thank you, Lord, that you are merciful and gracious. May we never presume upon your grace. May we seek to live holy, pure lives. Lord, help us to guard our hearts and our tongues. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.